when I was studying in Rome for seminary, we live at the North American College, but the colleges, the universities we go to are not like where we live. We actually have to walk to the universities. And in the first cycle of study there, there's usually about three universities that you can go to. And so my university was about a 35-minute walk one way. So for 5 years of my life, for 5 days a week, I had to walk basically an hour and 10 minutes to and from my university. So it really gave a lot of time for prayer. I mean, there was a lot of rosaries, a lot of reflection, and a lot of audiobooks over those 5 years. And throughout that time, when I would finish praying my rosary, raise your hand if you've been to Rome. So I know a bunch of you probably have. So there's like a bunch of folks here, probably like a third of you have been before. So I would basically get to the spot where Piazza Venezia began. And so if you remember, Piazza Venezia is where they have the Vittorio Emanuele monument, and they call it the wedding cake sometimes. It's like a giant white columnar structure that completely sticks out. It doesn't match any of the architecture in Rome. And they did that just so, you know, Vittorio Emanuele, so it would stand out, basically. So I would get right about to that spot, right at the edge of the piazza. And then I just sort of developed a devotion over the years. And it was really based on Peter's failure that we hear today in the Passion, but also his reconciliation with our Lord. So I'm sure many of you also, probably some of the same people, have been to the Holy Land. And you see that spot on the Sea of Galilee, where just as Peter denied Christ three times by this charcoal fire, on a charcoal fire right by the Sea of Galilee, the Lord gives him three opportunities of reconciliation, of forgiveness. And in that moment, he asks him, he's just like, you know, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And then by the time he gets to the third time, probably a little bit exasperated because he's finally seeing exactly what the Lord is doing, giving him the exact amount of opportunities he did when he had betrayed him to make up for it. And he says to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then he tells him, feed my sheep. And in that point, I would just, as I was walking to class, on the rosary beads still, I would just go through the decades and I would just simply say that. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. I think for those of us in our families, with our close friends, it's something when we're really familiar with people, especially in the same household, that sometimes we realize we don't say, I love you enough. We don't make it known because we're around each other all the time. But again, sometimes we make that same mistake with our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just tell him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. There's a few amazing things that happen in that one simple statement. Lord, the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know everything, that he's almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing. You know that I love you, which is saying that you need somebody to love. You need a Savior. One of the things that we say at every single Sunday Mass, well, actually every single Mass, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, is the thing that we truly celebrate on Palm Sunday. Hosanna means Savior or Rescuer. In that moment, on Palm Sunday, that Gospel of John that we read right at the beginning of Mass, what happens is all of those people on that day laid their cloaks and palms and branches at the foot of Jesus saying, Hosanna, in recognition that he's a Savior, a Rescuer. To do that is to admit our vulnerability, the fact that we need to be saved in the first place. It's an amazing thing, and we commemorate that at every Mass, not just on Palm Sunday. But it's a great reminder to us of this one important reality. God is eternal. It's something that's like nearly impossible for our brains to wrap our minds around, or wrap around that reality at all. We have a sense of it, a small sense of it, that God is an eternal being and that we live here in time. And so I, sometimes I do this, like the shortest little blip of the Trinity that you'll ever get, but it's super, super helpful. So God the Father and the Son are eternal beings. Like when we were born into this world, that was our first time being created and coming into the world. But God the Father and the Son are not created. They are eternally present, always there. Even before Jesus comes down and enters into our timeline, what we celebrate on Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you need this. The reason you need a Trinity is because you need a lover and a beloved. God the Father loves his Son, and his Son returns that love back to the Father. And that love is the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. Eternal love, eternal being. The reason that the Israelites, the Jews of that day, crucified Jesus was because of that very reason. Because if we go back to how God reveals himself to Moses, what does he say to him? He's lying there, and then Moses asks him, "Sir, who are you? What is your name?" And he says, "I am who am." And we hear that very part of that today in the Passion. They ask him who he is. He says, "I am." When we read that, it just kind of looks like, "I am this, I am that." But back then, for the Israelite people, "I am" is synonymous with God. "I am" is to be. "I am" being itself. So when he says those words, "I am," that's like the, like that's like the, you know, the gasping, suck in, you know, the clothes renting, you know, moment for them. Because he's blaspheming. They don't believe that he's actually God himself. And so what happens in the Passion is it's full of imposters. And you know, and Peter is one of them, with one important qualification for Peter, is that he goes back to the Lord and he seeks reconciliation. He denies knowing him and doesn't even, and says he doesn't even understand what he's being asked at the moment. There's two other great imposters in this game. Judas, the one who cries out, "Social justice for the poor." We hear in other gospels that he had been stealing from the collection the entire time that he was in that ministry with Jesus and the apostles. The one who cries out justice is the one who is a thief from the beginning. And then another one that's a little bit more subtle, but very clear when you hear this definition. Barabbas, the man who is freed instead of Jesus. Two Hebrew words, bar, meaning son, Abba, Barabbas, father, son of the Father. Who do they let go? The Son of the Father, which is a complete mockery of Jesus, who is the true Son of the Father. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when he's standing before Pontius Pilate, Pilate says, "What is truth?" Pontius Pilate has the same problem back then that most of world culture has right now. They think that truth is some sort of an idea or philosophy or some personal reality, like your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, what we call relativism. That is all false. The truth is not something, it is someone. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These are huge and important realities for all of us, because something that's an eternal being, an eternal reality, the sacrifice that he makes on the cross, that sacrifice on the cross is for all people and all sins, past, present, and future. So he dies on the cross for everyone that sinned before him, everybody that was alive during his time on earth, and every one of us that come after. In fact, even your children's children. That is what eternity looks like. He dies past, present, and future. It's something hard for us to grasp. But the important thing to realize is that at some point in our life, we're all imposters. We all turn away from Christ, just like Peter did. But there is a way to reconcile with him. You have to return back. And if you could just simply think of those words of Peter, I think that's all you really need. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. God bless you all and have a blessed Holy Week.